Hello, and welcome back to the Chaos Ball Podcast. Thanks for tapping in this week's plural. I was not here last week. The holiday interfered with my opportunities to record a podcast. And frankly, I could have... It might have been a real bleak podcast last week. The vibes were not good. They're still not amazing, but I think they're on the up and up at least. They just took two... I say they, I'm assuming you know. I'm talking about the Seattle Mariners, but they just took two off San Diego. They're in Anaheim right now. I'm recording this before the first Anaheim game, so don't know what happened in that one by the time this podcast comes out on Friday, but I guess we'll see. I hope they win tonight. They should just sweep the Angels, mop the Angels. It's an opportunity this weekend. I'm going Friday, Saturday, Sunday to those games. My first time seeing the Mariners this year. Hopefully it coincides with a hot streak from all of the hitters, including Julio and Jorge Polanco, but we'll just have to see. But in this episode, I'll hit really quickly on what's going on with the Mariners. But then, if you haven't guessed by the title, it's the Naming Dudes episode. I will be naming a bunch of dudes in this episode, so if you don't want to hear me name a bunch of dudes, leave now. I'm sure none of you left. I'm sure everyone actually wants to hear me name some dudes, but I'll be going into trade talk. It's getting to that point. I have a feeling with a lot of teams, we won't actually know if they're selling until August 1st comes around. We'll be like, oh, that team sold because the playoff format, the expanded playoff format, has just allowed for so much mediocrity to exist. And I feel like it's lessened the trade deadline. There's a lot of teams that are in it that probably shouldn't be in it. So I don't exactly know what they are, but I will be identifying at least the core group of selling teams that we know they're going to sell for sure, and then there's probably one-third of the league that's kind of on the fringe right now. That's technically, you could convince yourself they're a wild card hopeful, and the next couple of weeks will probably determine whether they sell or not, and some of these teams are quite interesting, but on each of these teams that I talk about, I will be identifying who they might be selling, and why some of them would fit on the Mariners, but also just naming dudes, like in general. I will just be naming a bunch of dudes on these teams that I wouldn't be surprised would move if that team sold. And that's about it. But before I get into that, where are the Mariners at? They're still in first place. They're still in first place. They're pacing for roughly 86 wins, which right before the season, in my preseason podcast, I think the median win total for them this year by most computer systems was about 87. So that makes a lot of sense. I think their over was 88. I think I took the over optimistically. But I want to say Fangraphs before the season had them at like 82 wins. I think Pecota had them higher than that. It could have been vice versa. But honestly, I guess holistically they've played like what they're supposed to be doing, I guess. But remember when they were 10 games ahead in the division of the Astros and the Rangers? Well, do you also recall that I said I was very scared? They're 2 games ahead of the Astros now. They're 6 ahead of the Rangers still. The Rangers have not quite gained a lot of ground, but the Astros have been playing a fantastic baseball recently. Much more like the Astros. Their core has been cooking, and they're getting healthier, and Hunter Brown's been really good. So they're not going to sell. They're definitely going to be a buyer. They have all the incentive in the world to buy with what little prospect capital they have. But I'm sure they'll try to do some stuff. And they're 2 games back of the Seattle Mariners now. By next week, the Mariners could be in second place. And that's unfortunate because they were 10 games up. I think I recall a couple weeks ago I said that probably wasn't going to last. I didn't think they were going to stay 10 games up all year. I didn't think it'd be this close this fast, to be quite honest with you. But if this tells the fans anything, if it tells the front office anything, it's that they should be an aggressive buyer at the deadline. And it's now or never for that poor ass John Stanton to open up the pocketbook and let them take on salary. Because if he doesn't, I think fan sentiment of the team and of him specifically, and by proxy, the Jerry DePoto regime, I think it will hit an all-time low. In the last like decade, probably. I mean, pre-DePoto, it was not great. But I think there's been hope. I mean, DePoto and his regime have garnered hope, and now it's the time. It's the perfect trade deadline to do it. because they have a pitching staff that is a World Series caliber pitching staff, and they have a lineup that can be improved basically at every single position. The world is their oyster. But again, we'll go over the teams actually selling. It's this whole wrench into things of how many teams are actually selling. Of the teams that are selling, there's not like amazing players available. Like the White Sox have great players available, but the whole pool of talent at the deadline this year, and maybe in the next coming years with just this playoff format, I think is just going to be diluted a little bit, which also means you're going to be paying more for top tier talent than maybe you would be like 3 years ago, even, because there's just more bidders going for the same superstar level players. But this is the deadline to do it. We've seen the Astros. They're not going away. They are the boogeyman. The Rangers are lurking still, looking more and more out of the picture, but this is a big month for them too. But this is the year to win the division, not even just to make the playoffs. I don't want to say they have to win the division, but they kind of have to win the division, like, let's be honest. But that's it. My idea to fix the offense is to start cheating. I wanted to say that off the rip. Just start cheating. Just start corking the bats or something. Just full-on cheat. Take your steroids. You know, whatever. Whatever you can do to win. I think that's my solution here. Don't actually add anyone at the trade deadline. Just one day, imagine all the Mariners players just start hitting the piss out of the ball and sounds differently off the bat. Like, hey, that'd be so suspicious. They would get caught corking bats so quickly. It would be like a week of the Mariners offense averaging like 7 runs a game, and everyone in the world would be like, that's not right. That's not how this is supposed to work. Break the bats open. That's my suggestion. Cheat. Add Luis Robert. Cheat some more. You know, whatever you got to do. And then before really naming dudes, All-Star game, the starters, the reserves, everything was announced. The Mariners have one All-Star. It is Logan Gilbert. I think he's quite deserving of that nod. Really happy for him after Luis Castillo and George get in last year. Logan Gilbert now this year. It's great. It's fun. Obviously, none of the offensive guys were going to get in, even with reserves or guys dropping out and others taking their place. I don't think anyone on the offense will get in. If anyone's going to get in and should have gotten in, it was Andrés Muñoz, I think. Should have probably gotten in over Clay Holmes. I mean, Clay Holmes was a choice, for sure. I really don't like all-star snub discourse, to be quite honest. I find it really tiresome. But it wasn't even just Muñoz. I mean, Clay Holmes shouldn't have gotten in over probably 5 other AL relievers, if that. And I can't imagine Yankees fans want to see that guy pitch in the All-Star game the way he's been throwing recently. But that was the All-Star stuff. I don't want to talk anywhere or about All-Stars anymore. Other people talk about it a lot. I don't peek at All-Star snubs. It's just All-Star game is the All-Star game. And without further ado, it's time to name dudes. It's time to talk trades. Time to talk trade deadline. It's the month for it. First off, who are the sellers? Who are the official sellers that we know are going to sell? The Marlins are selling. The Athletics are in a position to sell. The Angels are also far enough out. They're in a position to sell. The White Sox are probably the belle of the ball this year. I think they're the most attractive seller for sure at this year's trade deadline. And the Rockies. Now, I want to start with the Rockies. That's the list of official sellers. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5. That's not very many. But the Rockies. Let's start with the Rockies. I don't even want to label them a seller, because, like, genuinely, who knows with this team, to be honest. They're baseball's biggest wild card. They're wildly unpredictable. The Rockies could buy at the deadline, for all we know. I never, ever know what the Rockies are going to do. The Rockies are the living, breathing baseball team embodiment of never let them know your next move. Like, you genuinely have no idea. They're 32-60. They don't even really have much to sell. But if they were to sell, I don't even know. I have no idea who they'd sell. I'm not even going to talk about the Rockies, because who knows what they're going to do. Ryan McMahon has felt like a guy they were going to trade for years, but they just recently extended him, so I don't think that's the case. It felt like they should have traded like Charlie Blackmon and Chris Bryant right when they re-signed Charlie Blackmon, and then when they signed Chris Bryant, felt like they should have just traded him right after they signed him. I don't know the Rockies. We'll move on to talk about the Marlins instead. They'll be our first official name and dude selling team. The Marlins have been quite bad this year. Not good. Not good at all. They are 32-60, which is a better pace than they were on just in April. They were a generationally bad team for the first couple weeks of the year. And they're about projected to lose 100 games. They're 28 games back of the Phillies in the division. They're the exact inverse of the Phillies' record. The Phillies are 60-32. The Marlins are 32-60. I think the Marlins are going to sell. I think they're going to try and sell. The first name on this list, it seems like Jazz Chisholm is a certainty to get traded at this point. I'm super interested to see what the actual package for him is going to look like, because they're not exactly selling high on Jazz Chisholm. I think there's still like a high ceiling in there potentially for him. He just really hasn't been able to stay healthy and put together the numbers that I think the broader baseball world is expected of him. I mean, I think of more than his production, which has been fine this year, I think it's just been the health. Like, he really just hasn't managed to stay healthy. And then they moved him to center field, which is probably the most wear and tear position in the sport. And he hasn't been great in center field. So maybe a team would look to move him back to second base, like the Seattle Mariners. Jazz seems like a perfect Seattle Mariners acquisition to come strike out 35% of the time, slug 300, and that's about it. I would like Jazz on my baseball team. He'd be fun to root for, but I feel like that acquisition wouldn't go well. But after the Jorge Polanco trade and the Colton Wong business and Teoscar Hernandez and everything in the Mariners' history tells me, it's that whoever they trade for at this deadline, if it's a hitter, they will immediately be sapped of all of their good ability. But if they trade for a pitcher, I think they're cooking. But Jazz this year, he has played a lot of games this year. That's been good. Like, that's an encouraging sign, is that he hasn't really been hurt this year very much. He's played 89 games, which is great. That's a lot of games for the Marlins. They've played how many games? Is that how many games we've played? Let me do some quick math. So 92. So he's missed 10 games. That's great. It's exactly what we want to see. And he's been fine. Like 106 WRC plus. He's 11 home runs in basically half a year. That's not exactly the pace you'd like to see. 18 steals, 8.5% walk rate, 25% K, which is nice. That is down from his averages in years past. It's about league average, about where you'd want Jazz Chisholm to make that improvement. I'm intrigued to see what a package would look like for him, because it's like a, on paper, he could be a 5-war player. It's just he hasn't been able to do that. But we'll see. What else do the Marlins have? They already traded Arias. That was another one they were going to trade. They already traded him. San Diego jumped the trade deadline gun there and already traded for Arias. Other than that, there's not a whole lot of bats I find very enticing here. Pitching-wise, their starting pitching is really just not. Man, it's been bad. Besides Ryan Weathers, everyone has been so disappointing. So if they even wanted to trade like Trevor Rogers or Jesus Luzardo or Braxton Garrett, they've all been really bad. And they're not going to trade their young guys. Like, I don't think Max Meyer's going anywhere. I don't think Ed Cabrera's going anywhere. So you turn to the bullpen, and that's where they could do some trading here. That's what they could do. You got Andrew Nardi, who leads their bullpen in war at the moment. He's been good. His ERA doesn't look good, but his FIP has been great. He's just gotten a little bit unlucky with fly balls this year. And the other one who I think is probably the most enticing bullpen arm at the deadline is Tanner Scott. There's been a lot of Tanner Scott chatter. I talked about him in my Marlins preview. I remember this because I felt like at the time, his 2023 season was just simply not talked about enough. He had a phenomenal year. He's having another really good year, and I think he's going to go for a decent amount at the trade deadline. A team could really use a Tanner Scott in the bullpen. He has a 1.42 ERA, which is ridiculous. 3.46 FIP, so way higher than his ERA. I think he's a really, really great pitcher, not a 1.42 ERA pitcher. But last year, he ran a 2.31 ERA with a 2.17 FIP in 78 innings. Like, that's a ridiculous clip for a relief pitcher. And I think a team's going to give up a decent amount to get him at the deadline this year. So I think he's going to be there. Him and Jazz, I think, are out the door for sure. And that's probably it for the Marlins. I mean, there's not a whole lot else here that's really enticing. So next team is the Oakland Athletics. Who do the Oakland Athletics have that they could trade? They always like to trade, guys. Brent Rooker, future Seattle Mariner, Brent Rooker might be on the table. Now, he's a perfect Mariner. He has 18 home runs. He walks 10% of the time. He strikes out almost 33% of the time. That's right around where Cal Raleigh is, like almost leading the league. 156 WRC plus this year. He was hurt to start the year, started a little bit late, but now he's played 78 games and he's slashing 282, 360, 542. He has been on an absolute tear. This is the type of high strikeout guy you'd want on your team because he's just mashing. He's just absolutely mashing. And I think they're going to sell. He is still under team control, so maybe they hold on to him, but I feel like his value might just be topped out right now. He could get really good. I could be eating my words in a couple of years as he's winning the MVP award for the 2027 Sacramento Athletics. But it would make sense if they traded him. Like, it'd be very bleak to trade a very promising young player from your baseball team. But doesn't that just sound exactly like what the Oakland A's would do? So Brent Rooker, super intrigued about Brent Rooker, not only on the field, but on Twitter. Great Twitter follow. Maybe the best. On social media, like Taylor Saucedo is great from the Mariners, but Brent Rooker, great social media presence out of baseball players. And there's not a lot of baseball players that are great on social media, so you're really getting a unique value there. So Jerry, please, make it happen. I would love Brent Rooker. That would be amazing. Right-handed, power-hitting corner outfielder would replace Mitch Haniger. That'd be perfect. Miguel Andujar, maybe on the move. He's had a pretty solid year. I don't think they'll hold on to him. He hasn't played very much, but there's like no point for them to hold on to him if someone wants to trade for him. He can play a few positions. I think he's fine with a bat, maybe in a platoon role. You know, a team could use him as a somewhat utility depth piece for their org. I think they could get a low-end prospect for Miguel Andujar. And then really the really interesting guy on this team is Mason Miller. And I don't think they're going to trade him. He's been otherworldly this year. He's been everything as advertised. I think I talked about it in my preview. Everyone who was closely following baseball saw him make his debut, and then he got hurt, but it was like, holy shit, this is the best pitcher I've ever seen. And this year, he has been insane. He has a 2.39 ERA, a 1.82 FIP, stupid. He's struck out almost half the batters he's faced. In 37 and two-thirds innings, he struck out 46.5% of batters he's faced. That's fucked up. Like, that is ridiculous. I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't know if they're going to trade anyone out of their bullpen because they have, like, Lucas, is it Ursig? Has been really good, but also controlled. I don't know if they trade any of the bullpen guys. They don't have a lot of, like, expiring deals in the bullpen that I think are worth anything to other teams. Like, I don't know. I think it'd be Mason Miller or nothing here. And if they traded for Mason Miller, or if they traded away Mason Miller, oh my God, it would have to be a haul of all hauls for a relief pitcher. It could be franchise altering in good or bad way. Like, if they ended up trading Mason Miller and Brent Rooker at this trade deadline, that could very well determine how good or bad the next decade of A's baseball would be. And frankly, their most recent, they used to get a lot of good players out of trades. And frankly, recently, they traded away Sean Murphy and Matt Olson and, you know, other trades as well, like Matt Chapman. And they haven't gotten an amazing return for it, to be quite honest. Like, that should really, combined with being really bad and getting high draft picks, their farm system should be like the number one farm system in baseball. It should have been for the past couple of years with the amount of talent they've traded away at the big league level, and it just hasn't been. So I don't know what they do. I don't think they trade Mason Miller. I don't know if a team could put together a worthy enough package for Mason Miller. I genuinely don't know what it would take if, like, the Yankees wanted to trade for Mason Miller. It would be Spencer Jones would be the start of that, right? Jason Dominguez, Spencer, I don't know. Yankees have a lot of prospects, but it would take a tremendous haul to pry Mason Miller off the A's, and I don't think it's going to happen. So moving on to the other AL West dumpster team, Luis Ranjifo of the Angels, I think, is going to get traded. I think he's their most interesting bat. I think he could really help a team out. He's really killed the Mariners in the past, and maybe the Mariners could just acquire him, say, hey, you can't hurt us if you're on the team. And he would probably say, yes, I can hurt you. Watch this, and then not hit. So potentially that could happen. But no, Luis Ranjifo, he has positional versatility, and he's really just having a good year at the plate. He's been one of their best hitters, has played most of the year, and he's like one of the only guys they could trade. Like, they maybe could get rid of Taylor Ward at this point. He is an ARB, and I want to say this is his last ARB year. Is that right? This is last ARB year? Unsure. No, this is his first ARB year. I was very wrong, but they still could trade him if a team ponies up. I don't see Taylor Ward as much more than a good platoon bat from the right-hand side of the plate, but he's not a bad hitter. But I think Luis Ranjifo, if they're trading any hitters, they will trade him. I think, like, Willie Calhoun maybe they could trade too. He doesn't really serve their future, and he's been fine at the plate this year. Other than that, on the pitching side of things for this team, like, their one all-star, Tyler Anderson, they could move. His peripherals are quite ugly. But I still, regardless of that, I still think a contending team would trade for him. Teams need pitching. Teams need a lot of pitching. I don't know what he could get given the peripherals and just his salary in general. I don't know what they could get for him. It wouldn't be like a blue chip prospect, but it could be someone interesting. What they could get a lot for is Carlos Estevez. Carlos Estevez has been their closer for the past couple of years. He's a 2.89 ERA this year. He had a really good year last year. He is a free agent after the end of this year. And most contending teams could use him. I think he and Luis Ranjifo are their two, I don't want to say big, but those are their two best chips at the moment to get future Angels big league contributors out of. I think they'd be dumb not to trade Estevez, given he's a free agent after this season. I think literally any team that needs a back of the bullpen help would trade a prospect for him for sure. He's not just a fluke this year. He's proven he is a good stopping option at the back of a pen. And again, Luis Ranjifo, I think in a more complementary role, I think he'd be super valuable to most teams. So those are the big two, and then maybe Tyler Anderson too. Who knows? But we'll move on to the class of the deadline. I said the bell of the ball. They're the prettiest person at the dance this year in July. It's the Chicago White Sox, an absolute travesty of a season for the Chicago White Sox, a organization in disarray that not only years ago was probably on lists for most sustainable winners in the 2020s, and how quickly a window can not open and then simultaneously shut closed. The Chicago White Sox, a story of don't get your hopes up too much in baseball sometimes. They're 27-68. That's so bad. They're on pace to lose 107 games. Like, this could be one of the worst teams I've seen in my lifetime, and I've been a Mariners fan for my entire life. I haven't been alive that long, but God, they're so bad. But they probably have, of the established sellers, and even of the other teams I'm going to talk about, I think they have the two best players at this trade deadline, and Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert, affectionately known to me and a lot of other people as Lou Bob. Garrett Crochet, good Lord, he has been awesome to watch this year. Not only is his stuff sick, he throws really hard. His leg kick as a lefty pitcher is elite. It's one of the best motions, I think, in the league. Any contender would throw a lot at him. I don't think the Mariners are that team. They would be, I think, pretty stupid to trade for Garrett Crochet, to throw a lot at Garrett Crochet. They don't need him. But let's just say the Orioles do. I think the Orioles would happily give up 3 of their top 10 prospects, and maybe it might take more than that. He's been that good, and he's young and cost-controlled right now. I think the Orioles, if they're actually serious, should give up. They should give up Kobe Mayo. Samuel Basaya was a start to get Garrett Crochet in the rotation. Garrett Crochet, Dean Kremer, Corbin Burns, Grayson Rodriguez as their kind of like 4 to get them through the playoffs. Oh, nasty. That would be yuck with their offense. Like, they should do that. They would be everyone's pick to make it out of the AL. They would be definitely better than the Yankees, better than the Guardians. Yeah, they would probably be the favorite to win the World Series. Them and like the Phillies. That would be insane. But he's been great. Mariners, it's not relevant for me to talk about Garrett Crochet in the context of the Mariners, so I won't. But Lou Bob, I've talked about Lou Bob. I talked about it in my last episode. He doesn't come without flaws. But boy, is he a captivating player when he's hitting dingers. He provides, I talked about this, he provides a higher ceiling than probably anyone on the Seattle Mariners baseball team at the moment, honestly. Like, maybe not Julio, just because Julio is younger and maybe better in the outfield at this point in his career. But Lou Bob, he has the flaws. He strikes out a lot. That's one thing. Big swing and miss from him. And injuries. It's been health and a lot of strikeouts. But again, part of the allure is that he's 26. He's on a very team-friendly deal until 2027. And striking out and injuries are two things I think you can risk when getting a player that, ceiling-wise, he is a top 10 player in baseball. He hasn't been like that this year, I'll say. He hasn't played a lot this year. He came back from injury. And he's also on the White Sox. You know, he's probably not trying super hard. But last season, I feel like it went very under the radar that he had a 5-WAR season in 145 games. He's walking more this year. He's striking out more too, but he's already hit 11 home runs in 40 games, a 116 WRC+. He's a right-handed hitting outfielder. He is on a terrible team. It makes so much sense for the Mariners to take a swing on this. And I said it 2 weeks ago, and I'll say it now. If they traded 3 of their top 10 prospects for Lou Bob, and he didn't work out and put up 4 WAR in the next 3 years and didn't play a whole lot, I would not bat an eye at that because they took a swing. I think it's all about taking swings. And Luis Robert's the perfect guy to take a swing on, genuinely. So he's going to be traded. It's going to be really, really fun to see where he goes. God, I hope the Mariners trade for him. But other guys on this team, they don't just have those two. They could try to move off Yoan Moncada if they want. I don't know how many teams are going to trade for him with his contract, but we'll see. The other, maybe sneaky, one of the best pitchers at the deadline this year is going to be Eric Fetty. If you don't know who Eric Fetty is, he was in the league a little while ago, went to Korea for a few years, killed it in Korea, made some changes to his game. Signed with the White Sox this offseason, very under-the-radar signing, and he's been awesome. He has been, so, like, Garrett Crochet and Eric Fetty have both been amazing pitchers for a terrible, terrible White Sox team this year. And Eric Fetty is going to get a decent amount at the trade deadline. Not as much as Garrett Crochet, but He has another year on his deal after this, and it's not very much money, and he looks like a, like, any contending team would be lucky to have him as, like, a number three starter, the way he's been pitching. Like, even the Mariners, I think he's slotted at the Mariners at number three or four right now. Honestly, the way he's been pitching, it's been great. So they'll move on from him. Not a whole lot of enticing stuff in their bullpen. Like, Mike Soroka has been pretty good out of the pen this year. Maybe they trade him. I mean, Tanner Banks hasn't been good. John Brebbia, the peripherals look better than his ERA. Maybe they trade him. Chris Flexen has been really not good this year. If anyone would make him whole again, it would be the Seattle Mariners, but I don't think the Mariners would be interested in doing that. Like, maybe he's just kind of a throw-in to the Lubob deal because the White Sox don't want him anymore. And why not? The Mariners put him down in AAA and get him right again, and he's a good lawman out of the bullpen. Like, what if, like, sure. But I don't think he's anything else than a throw-in right now. He's not going to be, like, a headliner of a trade for a bullpen. So that's the White Sox. Again, the class of the deadline, just because, honestly, Garrett Crochet, Eric Fetty, and Lubob could be the three best players traded at the deadline. Depending on what happens with all the other fringe teams, all three of the best players that get traded at the deadline could come from the White Sox, which is pretty crazy. It feels like a very, very important point in Chris Getz's tenure. Short, early tenure as the... Is he the president of baseball ops or GM? I don't remember. But it's a very important point in their history of franchise, because you need to get solid prospects that impact the major league club in the next decade if you trade all three of those guys. You need it. It would be a huge cornerstone moment for this franchise, especially if they're one of the only teams outright selling. Again, they can kind of name their price. For Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert, they can basically have their pick of whatever teams are going to be bidding, and every contending team is probably going to want a little Garrett Crochet or a little Lubob. So they can name their price, they can get whatever they want, and they kind of have to nail it. It's a lot of pressure on them. They really do have to nail it. So we'll see how they do. But that was it for the sellers, the definite sellers, plus the Rockies, which, again, nobody knows what's going on with the Rockies. But now I have the next third of the league here to mention if they're going to sell. The teams on the fringe, I'm calling them. And again, the reason these teams are on the fringe is literally because there's three wildcard spots now. And the NL is bad. There's six NL teams on this list and four AL teams. And the AL is better than the NL, and the NL wildcard is a mess. Like, I'm going to talk about these teams. Every team in the NL wildcard race, except for the Rockies and Marlins, all of these teams are below 500, and yet all within six or less games of the wild card, which is ridiculous. But I'll start with the AL. It's a little bit less of a mess. But these are the teams on the fringe. So this is coming out July 12th. One of these teams can go on a crazy hot streak or a crazy losing streak, and we'll know by next week if they're more defined sellers or not. My goal here is to, if they are going to be sellers, who would they actually trade? Because there's definitely clear pieces on these teams that they will trade if they sell. We'll start with the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays of Toronto. Bo Bichette and Vladdy are the biggest ones here, by far. Bo Bichette and Vladdy are, I mean, it would be a defining moment in the history of this franchise. It was such a promising core, and they just have fallen short year after year, and it could be time to cut ties and rebuild anew. But again, if they go on a win streak and get hot, maybe they don't sell. But they're pretty out of it right now. I mean, they're 8.5 back of the wild card. They're 42-50. Where are they even at in their division? Like, and they're in the AL East, so yeah, they're 15.5 back of the Yankees. And above them, you have the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Yanks, three of the better teams in the league right now. The Red Sox have been on fire recently. Orioles and Yankees are just good teams. Yankees have been awful recently, but still a good team. And the Rays are above them, too, by 3.5 games. And the Rays are better than them, and the Rays aren't even that good. So I think if there's any team on the fringe that I think will sell, it's going to be these Jays unless they win 10 in a row. And at Bobichet and Vladdy, I think they're probably out of there. I'd be super interested in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. joining the Seattle Mariners. I would be quite interested in that. I think it's similar to Lou Bob in that the past couple years haven't been disappointing for Vladdy. They've just been like, wow, we saw an MVP 6-WAR season out of him in 2021. I should say MVP-like, because Shohei won the MVP that year. But since then, he's been steadily getting worse. And last year was his worst season since his rookie year in 2019. But this year, he's looked a lot better at the plate. He has been very healthy. I think he's literally played every game this year. He has a 135 WRC plus. He is launching baseballs pretty well. Not quite on the 48 home run pace that he did in 2021, but he's been a very good offensive contributor for the Blue Jays this year. Another guy where the baseline could just be solid offensive contributor, and the ceiling could be top 10 hitter in baseball. He's never going to be a good defender. Like, his defensive first base is not good. You can DH him a little bit, but he'll be a first baseman. But I think for the Mariners, it's intriguing because his baseline is better than Ty France, I think. Like, I feel like Vladdy's floor is roughly where Ty France's ceiling is at right now. And again, another guy worth taking a swing on. I think he's very worth taking a swing on. And it's Vlad Guerrero Jr. Some of it is just paying for the name, man. And that's why he's also worth the swing. You've seen what he can do. And it right-handed power bat at first base, which Ty France just genuinely hasn't really been for the Mariners. I think it'd be worth doing. He's in second year of ARB right now. And again, one more year of ARB next year, and then he's a free agent. I think it'd be worth the swing for the Seattle Mariners to try to trade for him. Bo Bichette, I don't think the Mariners would trade for Bo Bichette, but Bo Bichette seems like the perfect Dodger for me. Other guys they could trade, Yusei Kikuchi, he's a free agent this offseason. He could be an interesting trade candidate. Since going there, he's really not revitalized his career, but the Mariners just didn't quite get as much out of him as expected when he came over to America, and the Blue Jays have. He's been solid for them, so they could trade him if they're tearing it down. And then out of the pen, Yimi Garcia is the obvious reliever they'll move if they're going to sell. He's a free agent this offseason. He's having a fantastic year. Like, a Vlad Yimi trade to the Mariners would get my blood pumping, baby. That would get me. If that Jeff Passenbaum hit the timeline, I'd scream. That would be phenomenal. But we'll see. Next team on this list, and I got to go by these kind of quick, the Rays with a question mark. I don't know what the Rays are going to do. 45 and 47, they're not terrible. They're not going to win their division. Their division is too good. I had the Rays winning the division at the start of the year, and that's clearly not going to happen. I was very wrong about that. And they have a bunch of interesting pieces they can move. They're always going to be active in the trade deadline. I think the biggest one this deadline is if they're going to trade Isak Paredes, their third baseman. He's the big name on here. Another man I'd love to see in a Mariners jersey. Again, third base, a position, surprisingly, that's been fine for the Mariners this year, but one they could definitely upgrade still. And Isak would be awesome in a Mariners jersey, I think. Another guy worth the swing. And he's having a really good year. I think they could get a good amount for him right now. I haven't heard much about Brandon Lowe. Brandon Lowe. But they could move on from him too. He hasn't been healthy the past couple years, but this year when he's played, he has been quite good at the plate. He's only played 45 games though, so that's definitely a consideration here. But left-handed power hitting second baseman. Randy Arozarena, another name that was thrown around like last month for the Mariners. Hasn't had an amazing year, but I still think a team would trade for him for a corner outfield bat. And then pitching-wise, Pete Fairbanks and Jason Adam, probably their two best relievers, they could move for a pretty good return. Most contending teams would be quite interested in either of those guys. It's a big deadline for the Rays, depending on what they decide to do. It's been a weird year for them, because their pitching has really been like the thing to let them down this year, and that's not very Rays-like. But Taj Bradley looks awesome. Shane Baz is back pitching. I don't know. I feel like they're going to do kind of a restructuring. I think they'll probably trade Isak Paredes, because I don't think his value is going to be higher than it is right now. Maybe they sell Randy, sell high on Brandon Lau, and reload. They call up Junior Caminero, and maybe they get a couple more close to MLB-ready pieces back, and they do the Rays thing where they get the most out of these guys and maybe still make the wild card even after being somewhat of a seller. Could happen, but we'll see. Next American League team is the Tigers. The Tigers, not having a good year. Not at all. But they have a couple guys that could trade. I think Mark Canna is like the perfect Mitch Haniger replacement for this front office to go for. I'm not saying I would. I'd rather have Luis Robert or Brent Rooker in the outfield replacing Mitch Haniger. But Mark Canna feels like a Jerry DePoto move. It feels like a chills type of move. Dare I say it, he controls the zone, and he's a veteran who can play the outfield. Hasn't been awesome this year, but he walks a lot, you know, and he wouldn't cost very much. I'm just being realistic here. I think this is a perfect Jerry trade. Other guys they'd probably move. Jack Flaherty is going to get traded for sure. He's a free agent this offseason, having a fantastic walk year. He'll help a contender and probably get a long-term deal this offseason. Bullpen-wise, Will Vest, Andrew Chafin are guys they can move. The Rangers moving on from the Tigers. The Rangers are my final American League team here. Now, the Rangers could be the most interesting team at the deadline, and it very much depends, for this team more than most, on how the next couple weeks on the field shake out, because they haven't been good, but their division's pretty bad. So they're 44-48 and only six back of first place. And they are, where's the wild card? Seven back. They're farther out from the wild card right now than they are to the division. That's how bad the AL West is. So they've been playing fine. Not a great year. They've just got the feel of a team that needs to go for it. Like, they just won the World Series. Most of their core pieces aren't getting any younger. Like, they kind of have a young core coming up. But like Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, and their pitching staff are you know, aging. The guys who they won the World Series on the backs of last year, for the most part. And they need some internal improvements from guys like Jonah Heim and Semien, even like Ezekiel Duran, similar to how the Mariners kind of just need some internal improvements as well. But I don't know if they're going to buy. I mean, we've seen how aggressive Chris Young is, and if they're not too far out, I think they'll buy, because it's almost like, screw it, why not? They're getting a lot of their pitching back from the IL. Wyatt Langford has looked legit recently. After his slow start, he's looked great. So I think that's really encouraging, something to build around. They have a lot of flexibility. They have a lot of expiring pitchers. Andrew Heaney, the Heen Dog, he's expiring. He could be moved. And then David Robinson and Kirby Yates out of the bullpen both could really help a contending team if they did decide to sell them. I think they could get decent guys back for both of those relievers. Jose LeCourc is expiring as well. I think if the next couple weeks determines the trade deadline for everyone, I think it's almost the emphasis is on this Rangers team because the division is so bad. So if they limp into the trade deadline, but they're only, even if they're right now, if the trade deadline was tomorrow and they're six back of the Mariners, I still think they'd probably try to improve in whatever way they can, because that's not that many games out. And the Mariners and Astros both haven't inspired this year, to say the least. So we'll see. And on to the NL slop. And I'm not going to take as much time with these NL teams. I'll name some dudes, but the NL wildcard is a fucking joke right now. So the team most out of it is the Washington Nationals. They're six games out of the wild card. I think they're probably going to sell. They've got some young players performing well. They just called up James Wood. They have Dylan Cruz in the wings. I think they have the makings of a pretty decent young core. A long way to go. And now would be a trade deadline to try to kind of add to that. I think they could just trade some relievers. They don't have, besides Jesse Winker, they don't have a very robust hitting class to trade. But Jesse Winker is an obvious trade candidate. DePoto could do the funniest thing possible and trade for Jesse Winker again. But they could trade Dylan Floro and Kyle Finnegan, Tanner Rainey, Hunter Harvey, Derek Law. Those were all guys in their bullpen. Floro is a free agent this offseason, having a really good year. I think he'll be traded. All those other guys have one more year of ARB left, but I think if you get an offer, like Kyle Finnegan's solid and the other guys are fine. Like if you get an offer, why not just kind of move away from them? I think Dylan Floro and Jesse Winker will be traded. I think out of any of their players, I think those are the two that will be on the move. The Chicago Cubs, the next team, they're 3.5 back of the NL wild card and they're 44-49. God, like this is why I don't know if they're going to buy or sell. I have no freaking idea. But Bellinger distracted his finger, so I don't think he's going to get traded, which is unfortunate for him and the Cubs. And then there's Nico Horner. There's been Nico Horner chatter to the Mariners recently. I don't know how I feel about that. Nico Horner, great defensive second baseman, elite defensive second baseman, great hit tool, not a whole lot else in his arsenal, really. I guess they could trade him. I don't know. I don't know what they do. It's been a disappointing year. They don't have a lot of tradable contracts. Like, and Seiya Suzuki and Ian Happ, they get paid a lot, but they've been really good for them. It's like Dansby Swanson's been awful. Michael Bush has been good. Peter Armstrong has not looked good at the plate. Shota Imanaga's been great. They're not going to sell him. Like, their pitching has been good. Their bullpen has not been amazing. I guess they could buy some bullpen arms. I have no idea what they're going to do. The next team on this list, the Pirates. I also don't ever really know what the Pirates are going to do, but they are 2.5 back of the wild card. They're 45-48. They have two of the most electric young starters in baseball. They have some decent pieces on offense. They don't have a whole lot to trade, really. When I'm looking at it, like, Rowdy Tellez has been torrid at the plate recently, had a awful start to the year, but has been great recently. I don't know who else they could even trade. Yasmani Grandal has been awful. Jack Sawinski's been really bad. Pitching wise, like, you're not trading Mitch Keller, they just extended him. You're not trading Paul Skeens or Jared Jones. Bailey Falter's been fine. Relief wise, they could trade Colin Holderman. He's been great. I don't know. I don't know what the Pirates are going to do either, and they don't have that much to trade. So they might just kind of sit on their laurels and make like one little small trade here and hope their team gets good enough to make the wild card at 500. And the next three teams on this list still go in order of where... No, not in order. What am I saying? It's the Reds, the Giants, and the D-backs. Just before I depart here, the Reds, they are 45-49, three back of the wild card. And I guess Jonathan India is the name here. If I've got to name a dude, it's Jonathan India. They really are desperate for right-handed hitting right now, and Jonathan India's been great this year, so I don't know if they necessarily trade him, if they're trying to go for it, but I don't know if his value is going to be higher than right now, and if they're far enough out of it by the deadline, that would make sense to trade him. A Mariners trade would genuinely make sense for Jonathan India. I don't think it costs too much, but we'll see. And then out of the pen, their rotation, I don't think they move anyone. Out of the pen, Nick Martinez has been great for them this year. Other than that, I don't think they move on from anyone else. They don't have a whole lot of expiring contracts out of the pen. So they're not trading Ellie De La Cruz. They're not trading Spencer Steer, Tyler Stevenson. They're not trading any of these young guys that are on this offense. So I don't know where they go. I think Jonathan India is the obvious one to trade here, but we'll see. We'll see. Again, they might not be that far out of it by the trade deadline, so they'll figure it out. And then the two NL West teams to round out the pod, the Giants and the D-backs. Fascinating trade deadline, potentially, for the Giants. I don't know what they do. Much like these other teams, who knows, really? Matt Chapman? Michael Conforto? Lamont Wade? Am I enticing you at all with these names? They could trade all three of those guys. Will they? Who knows? The direction of the Giants has been increasingly confusing to me because they have been so mid for so many years now, since that anomalous 108 win season only a short while ago. They've just been such a mediocre team filled with, like, good players. Not great players, but good players. But if they're going to sell, it'd be Chapman. It would be Lamont Wade, who could be a really elite first base platoon option for any contender. If the Mariners are going to buy low on a first baseman but keep Ty France, Lamont Wade would be very interesting. Even though Rayleigh plays first base, I really like late night Lamont. And he's walking at a 19% clip right now in 61 games. That's ridiculous. Talk about controlling the zone. He is the antithesis of striking out, but he strikes out 23% of the time. Don't tell anyone. Michael Conforto, having a decent year. His problem, as always, has just been staying healthy the past couple years. He would make sense if they were to trade someone. But I don't know what they do. I don't think they trade anyone out of their rotation. And then bullpen-wise, they could trade both of the Rogers twins. They're both having quite solid years. I think they hold on to Ryan Walker. And obviously, they're not trading Camilo Duvall. But they could trade both of the Rogers twins if they decide to sell. I think most contenders would buy a Rogers twin from them. So be a little awkward if you bought the wrong one. You'd know immediately. They are quite different on the mound. But it's interesting. Like, the Giants and the D-backs, I'll talk about. I could talk about the Padres, but they're above 500. I think they'll buy, if anything, unless they go on a complete slide the next couple weeks. Giants and D-backs are same record, 45 and 47, both 9.5 out of the Dodgers. So I don't think the division is there for them this year. But the wild card could be. They're both 2.5, and the Diamondbacks are 1.5. Oh, the Diamondbacks must have won today. So they're not. So the Diamondbacks are a game above them now, technically. Giants lost today. So the Giants are 45 and 48, and the D-backs are 46 and 47. 1.5 out of the wild card. Giants are 2.5. That's close enough. By the deadline, they could buy, I guess. Again, it's just, man, what a weird trade deadline it's going to be. But the D-backs, in terms of who they could trade, I don't know if they would trade. Similar to the Rangers, as like the World Series loser, there's more pressure, probably, than most to make it back to the postseason, at least. Next couple weeks, similar to the Rangers, will be crucial. If they did decide to trade anyone, Randall Grichuk is an easy one. Jock Peterson potentially as well. And then Christian Walker would probably be the one to get the most back out of him. Christian Walker, I do believe, is a free agent after this season. I love Christian Walker. I have really liked him for a long, long time now. I think he's criminally underrated. I think he has been for a while. And yes, he is a free agent after the season, so trading him would make a ton of sense. Having a really good year so far this year. He's pacing to have his best year of his career in his last season of this contract. He's a 133 WRC plus in 93 games, played every one of their games this year. Has always been great defensively at first to pair with just really solid offense. Like 2022, 2023, he put a 4 and 3.9 WAR. He has 2.8 and half a season this year. 22 home runs already this year. He's been raking. Any team would, teams would line up. If they're selling, teams are going to line up for Christian Walker. The Mariners should be one of them. He's technically would be a rental, but he would be an easy trade for an extension candidate because he's 33, so he's a little older. So I don't think an extension would be out of the question if you gave him like 3 or 4 years until like age 37. Because he's not going to, this offseason, he's not going to get like a 10-year contract. So I don't know who his agent is. I can't see it on Fangraphs, I don't think. If it's Boras, obviously he won't get an extension, but we'll see. So he's the obvious one if they decide to trade. And pitching-wise, not a whole lot from them, honestly, as on the pitching side. Like Paul Sewald, maybe. He's on an expiring deal, but he's been having a rough go of it recently, so I'm not sure about that. Otherwise, there's not much with the D-backs. But that is the name and dudes episode. Any and all of those names could come up on the trade deadline and more, but it's going to be a weird one. I feel like even a week out, we won't necessarily know who is selling. I think the sellers are starting to show themselves. And I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of not selling but restructuring at the deadline. Like maybe teams find ways to just kind of like, hey, you're good at this. We're good at this. This player's good at what we want. This player's good at what you want. Let's just do a little mutual nice swapping here. Could be a lot of that rather than huge blockbuster deals. But I think the blockbusterness will happen with the White Sox no matter what. And if the Blue Jays decide to sell, I think if Garrett Crochet, Lou Bob, Bo Bichette, and Vlad all get traded at the deadline, that's four major players to move at the deadline. And there could be more, but those are really big players to move at a deadline. So it'll see. We'll see. I've talked about this already. I don't want to keep hitting it over the head, but the Mariners need to do something. They need to both improve internally and add from the outside. It can't be either or. Just improving internally is not going to get them far enough. Just adding in bats is also not going to get them far enough. It needs to be both. So you need to trade for Luis Robert, and you need to trade for Yimi Garcia, and you need Julio to play at a 140 WRC plus pace the rest of the year. And then we're cooking. And then we're fine. So we'll see. Gregory Santos made his debut. That's encouraging for the bullpen. That's really fun. I don't have much else to say about the current state of the Mariners. I need to get out of here before this hits an hour. But Gregory Santos looks pretty sweet. So if they get one more really solid bullpen arm, I feel quite good about the bullpen going forward without Matt Brash. So we'll see what happens, but it's a big series in Anaheim this weekend. I'm excited to go to the games. It'll be fun. It'll be hot, but I'll get to see the Mariners live, and that should be very fun, win or lose. So let's hope they win. But without further ado, I will sign off. Have a good rest of your week, and of course, go Mariners.